listener production.
The Luke and Sassy Scott podcast acknowledges the traditional owners and custodians of the land in which we record this podcast, the Yulikat Woolen clan of the Boonwurrung, who are part of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to our elders past and present and extend our respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
Don't film me!
You are ridiculous.
Don't do that either! I'm sick of you!
You're a nutcase.
I don't care, Luke!
Look at you.
You infuriate me as a human being.
Are you recording? Can I pick my nose?
Luke!
I'm sassy.
Sassy. Scott.
Welcome, everyone.
Who's everyone?
Who do you think? I'm not speaking to the people in the room. I'm speaking to the people listening to the podcast.
There's no one in the room right now.
Obviously, it's going to the people on the podcast, Scott. Turn your mic down until I finish.
Go.
Oh, you're killing me. I've like lost all faith in humanity because you're sitting opposite me right now. Cover your mouth. Do you reckon you can get your aluminium fillings changed into clear ones?
No, because I think it's like my, like my trademark. When I laugh, you see
don't
how many
that
fillings
be your
I have.
That's not a trademark.
All right.
It's insulting.
No, I'm not that vain. I don't give a fuck about the color.
You're not vain?
No. I'm not Carly Simon.
Probably think this podcast is about you, don't you?
Well.
I rest my case. Family drama. Not here, but what someone has sent into us, Scott.
Family drama.
I'm going to read it out. This is anonymous.
No, I'm sick of anonymous.
Actually, no, it's not anonymous.
Isn't it?
It's from Marley.
Oh, great. Thanks, Marley. Let's go.
All right, here we go. Luke, Scott, if you ever think you've got twisted shit happening in your family, my situation might make you feel better.
Oh, good.
I'm 23, living at home with my mum and sister.
Yep.
And about 6 months ago, my boyfriend of 1 year broke up with me. His reason was that we were wanting different things.
Okay.
He said he wanted to travel, etc., while I've been focused more on my uni. Anyway, fast forward to a couple of weeks ago, my mum sits me down and says, I need to speak to you about something.
Shut up.
Do you want me to continue?
Yes.
Well, don't say shut up. She proceeds to tell me she's been seeing someone, that he's a lot younger than her, and that I shouldn't get upset.
What the fuck?
I'm like, Mum, who is it? It's my fucking ex, that's who. My mum was trying to convince me that it's not a big deal and that she won't bring him home, so I won't even have to see him. I'm still in shock. What the fuck?
What the fuck?
Yeah. That's fucked. Thoughts?
So much to unpack. I'm sorry, Marley. Your mum's a beat this one out. Your parent is supposed to be the number one person in your world that bats you, will always have your back, will always stand in front of you, will be there to make sure life is, you know, fairer and easier and are
like
there to
protect
you.
This has come for a reason. I just watched, you know how Drew Barrymore overly touchy on her couch kills me, but sometimes the content can be all right on her show, right?
She had
another child star on it where, oh, who was it? But anyway, their topic was their mothers were very, like, involved in their lives, lived through their lives, through them, right?
Yes, a lot of parents do that.
But then it turned it into that they wanted to date their partners all the time. So apparently this has happened to Drew Barrymore's mum.
Right.
And wasn't this with Noah Cyrus, you know, Miley Cyrus, her sister?
Not really.
I'm pretty sure Cyrus's ex, Miley Cyrus, she came in on a wrecking ball.
Yeah, but does everyone know her sister?
Yeah, Noah, she had a cool song out.
No, I think it's like
with
Luke.
Labyrinth. What? What do you mean? Look a boy. That's why they're getting confused. They know me as look a boy. No, so this could be a common thing. That's what I'm
saying. So I would be saying, I'm getting the fuck out of here. You're a fucking predator, mum. Go and fuck yourself, your vision and view on the world. Okay, no, this is what I always say. When so, no, wait, no,
no, no, no, no,
no,
no. I no, finally got who Drew
no,
Barrymore was
I don't
talking
give a fuck.
To. No, I need to say it before I forget.
No, write it down.
I can't because I don't remember her name. I need help to
you
remember
have a
her
pen.
Name.
I need to say this.
Brooke Shields.
Shut up.
That's who it was.
When. When somebody shows you who they are, believe them. That mother just showed her daughter who she is. Believe her and go the other fucking way. Because if she's done that to you, she has only her best interest in her interest, not yours. Get the fuck away from her. She is dangerous. She showed you who she is. Believe her.
That's a lie, because I went to Movie World once and I saw Batman on his lunch break. He was not Batman. He told me he was Batman.
He showed you who he was.
Now I know, but first he told me he was Batman. Next second, he's eating a souvlaki.
Correct, the next second, that's who he showed you who he was. Believe them. So when someone shows you who they are, believe them.
So when they go back to being Batman, I know he's Frank.
You know, exactly fucking right. Mm. That mother showed you who she really is.
Mama Bear.
Believe her and get the fuck away from her. You now know who she is and what she's capable of.
Scott, it will be no surprise to you or anyone listening that you go on a rant every now and then. A lot of it's about how
passion.
People tell you that you're too loud, you're too much, you don't shut up. My God, Mandy can speak to this. We could call anyone in the family, any one of your friends, Marcus. Like, Scott, every now and then people just want to have an opinion and they don't want to hear you. Like, you're a lot at times.
I couldn't give a fuck. You're not
exactly.
enough. If you're telling me I'm a lot, it means you're not enough.
No.
And I don't give a shit about what people think and my opinions, because I was fucking put on this planet with a really big voice and massive lungs. Actually, can you scan lungs?
Of course you can scan lungs.
I want to see if mine are bigger than a normal person's. Normal.
Luke, you don't he's come doing from lungs. It again.
Exactly.
He's doing it
see,
again.
He goes
Get
on
to
a
it.
Tangent. He tries to make it. Everyone to make everyone forget that the pressure of what he was about was becoming too much. So he had to change everyone's opinion again.
It's called doing my job.
So Scooter Boy, look at me. I'm going to play a little game here.
My name's Sassy Scott, not Scooter Boy.
Your name's Scott David Anthony O'Halloran.
Yes, it is.
And it's time for you to shut up, because we're playing a little game where Luke goes on a little rant now. And you don't get to say anything. So I've got some sticky tape, sticky sticky material here. I don't even know what this is. It's from one of those
Hang on, wait. And this
printers.
Is,
I couldn't find masking tape.
We're low budget.
Fucking
We're low budget.
No,
because you, no let
not.
Me talk. Scott,
don't
shut
put
up.
Me in
shut
that.
Up. You're talking again.
Don't put me in that with you.
Scott's talking.
I'm not a low budget guy. You are.
How much is that outfit?
You are. Don't put me in that category of low budget with you people. I'm not.
It's because you listening at home aren't sharing this podcast to your friends and family, and our listeners aren't going up. We need you to share it. But anyway, Scott.
We need you to share it so we can afford sticky tape.
Yeah.
Guys, or just ask me for some money and I'll buy whatever it is you need.
Oh, I'm sorry, but
anyway.
10 minutes ago, he's like, we're doing it tough.
Shut up, Luke. You're fucking doing all right too, mate. You're fucking doing all right. What I earn, you earn
Throw
these days.
Throw me a penny. Anyway,
shut up.
I know, Mandy.
Okay, Luke, go.
Scott,
so what? I have to listen to you talk shit.
And you have to not say anything.
But is it going to be something that people want to listen to? Because half the time, I
yes.
carry the weight of this fucking
no,
podcast by making it interesting.
No, because every now and then when I do get to say something, they're like, oh, I love it when Looker Boy talks.
No one's ever said that.
No, they do. They do, Scott. You just neglect to see it. You've probably got that
I've never
filter
seen it.
Comment thing on your thing going,
With your name.
Neglect anything that says Looker Boy or Luke or good in the sentence.
That's smart.
I do it. I have it on Scott. You know on my Instagram, your stuff doesn't even pop up because I've hidden your account on my personal Insta.
It's so funny how much you try and get away from me.
Anyway,
how much
so I've
you
got
need me in your life.
This segment, shut up. So I'm also going to say the rules once you've got this on your mouth, because you just
Why?
put it on. Or lean forward, let me do it. I've got to make sure
you know,
it goes on properly.
Go
like this.
Hurt me,
I'm trying to look after you. Go out so it doesn't go on your lips.
No violence, please.
Rip those dry lips off later. So the rules are, if you make a noise, if I... From now, if Scott makes any noise like that, I win. And do you know what I win? For 2 weeks, you have to put up on your Instagram personal account saying how much you love Uncle Looker Boy. Can't come across as a joke. If it comes across as a joke, money comes into it then. And you also have to say, it would mean the world to me if everyone could go follow Looker Boy on Instagram.
Wait, is he saying this every day on his
Every
on
day
his
for
personal
2 weeks.
Oh my God.
For 2 weeks.
What about like $500?
Oh no, if it comes across fake, then I get the $500.
Okay, so Scott.
Did I hear a
obviously,
noise
Obviously. No, no, he's allowed to make noise. I'm going to be the adjudicator.
Mm-hmm.
He's allowed to make some noise, mm-hmm. but you're just not allowed to like, like don't
If it
go
goes
too,
above 10 yeah. decibels, he's out. Fingers, any gestures, no pointing. You can't frown either.
All right.
See, it's distracting you
yeah,
making
okay.
that noise.
Scott, maybe not too much.
Now, if it goes overboard, that's overboard. Stop making any noise. Just shut up for a second. People don't want to hear you today. All right. So I'm going to talk. Nice. Just, yeah, it's really nice, Mandy. This feels like when you have a good night's sleep or the Panadol kicks in. Paracetamol for those listening in America. Where was I, Scott? So where was I last week, actually? We were on set recording a Jetstar commercial. TV commercial, Mandy. I'll speak to you as well, Mandy. So Scott thinks he is the leader of this industry. It's always like anything's pitched, it's always Scott going, oh, I actually run the biggest events for this, I did that. And I can speak truth to Scott. Scott has been in a TV commercial before. It made it really big in the family. It was all about workplace relations. Scott was maybe, you can't even correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe 30 meters from the camera when it was recording. But it was very important for Scott because he played it to the family every night going, this is me in the workplace. 2007 commercial? I'm pretty sure that was it. Stop making noise. But anyway, we're on set at Jetstar. And my God, it was like I had someone narrating the whole thing the whole time. I'm like, oh, look at that guy. That's not just the guy, Luke. That's the director. And I'm like, oh, yeah, there's the
director. Sorry, it's your rant.
There's more tape out here for Mandy as well because she needs to shut up too.
Sorry, go on.
Do you say it?
Director.
Director.
He's the director. You're saying die.
No, I just pronounce my words.
Sorry, I'm being a Scott. Go on.
Scott's pointing a lot. That's nearly a loss. But anyway, Scott on set is a lot. Scott was even saying, oh, like, I'm probably giving more main character energy than the main guy, like the guy who's running the show in terms of the actor. Scott was like, I'd be able to do this better. He's not doing that properly. Is it the executive director he was saying? He was saying words that I've never ever heard of, like,
Scott, you're not
you
allowed to
do
write
anything.
Down.
He's communicating.
He's trying to write down what the correct name is.
But the whole time on set, it was like, no, hang on, we're extras. So for the first 2 hours, it took Scott to realise that we were extras. We didn't have a main role in the ad, which he was like, this is a fucking waste because obviously, like, we would be able to, like, bring a lot to this TV commercial. And then it was just eating up him up in live. And I was finding it funny. I was like, we're extras, Scott. Have fun with it. But no, that wouldn't sit with Scott. So then he was thinking every time that camera was rolling, what could he do? Is that extra 1%? So next second, he's holding things up like above everyone else. He was asking, oh, do you reckon I should do this to the director?
And you know what? There's nothing worse than an extra that tries to be the main character. Because, right? Like, you know when there's an extra in the back of a TV show and they're, like, making all these, like, hand gestures
so
and you're, like,
everyone,
you're distracting.
The whole set was like this. Every time he would say something, they're like, oh,
never
here we go again.
Callback.
We've got to get caught up for another 5 minutes or so here. So the main parts that Scott went above and beyond as an extra was the most simplest scene. The main character just had to walk down the fake aisle of the plane whilst, like, everyone was just holding a toastie. But
so he didn't have a talking role?
Never had a talking role, but he tried to make a talking role, didn't he?
I'm sure he would. Did you have to tape his mouth for the
Well, they would have. They took him off set, like, once or twice as well.
Hey,
he was kicked off set.
Scott's doing the wrap-up.
Yeah, because he wants to talk.
Yeah, because he wants to talk. You're not getting to talk after this, by the way.
You're not in charge of anything, Scott. So there was that. Then he was asking the director. He even stood up a few times being like, excuse me, like, can I just put like my two cents in this? Because what you're doing right now won't read to the TV audience. This is how I think it should be. So everyone was like, what the hell's going on? Then at one stage, my favorite part, they were like, it's not working with all the, because we're in orange tracksuits as well. They're like, oh, we're going to have to break this up a bit. So they kick Scott off like 3 times off set purely because of how annoying he was and how much he was asking, like, executive director, this, like, every now and then. He was asking for coffee on set. So you'll probably see in the commercial, there'll be coffees, water bottles all next to Scott's seat as an extra. He was asking for lollies. He sent someone off in their car to go get lollies at one stage.
What a fucking diva. They are experiencing what we experience here on a daily basis.
It's a lot.
Scott, obviously, with the tape on your mouth, you're not able to answer me. But Scott,
he's making noise.
What we're going to do now, if you're finished, Luke, have you got anything else to add?
More so at the end. No, even at the end as well, he even called our manager and he was like, oh, can you call Jetstar and let him know that I can have a more featured role as the extra, like, don't delete the parts.
Did that actually happen?
Yes. He spoke to management being like, can you please get onto Jetstar and tell them that I want to be in the ad more. Like, I'm under the impression that they're not going to use my parts, so can you tell them to please use them?
That's so
and I just sit on it all. And all the extra parts is just Scott holding either a toasty or like high-fiving someone or pointing at the camera and he has to include them. Can you imagine? Scott. I'm associated with this. So I'm sitting there. Everyone's like, Luke is killing it on set today. He's doing everything perfect. Whereas Scott's just a lot. Like, you're an extra. And I knew the role was an extra, but Scott did not.
Now, Scott. We're going to ask you to just wait. We're going to ask you to take the tape off, but
you can't say anything. You can't even
You're not
respond.
Allowed. You're not allowed to say anything back to what Luke just said. The only thing you're allowed to comment on
it's
is
true.
How hard it was not to say anything during that time, if it was. Here we go.
Take
tape
it off.
Can come off.
Here we go.
It hurts. It's sticky. Oh, my lips. Oh,
that was actually cutting underneath my nose.
Not so low budget now, is it?
Oh, fuck me. That's adhesive. That I didn't like.
Truth
that I didn't enjoy it. I don't like that. But I won.
No, you didn't.
Yep.
There was a lot of loud noises.
No, I think he got through it.
Thanks, Mandy.
I like this. I'm going to do it again.
No, that can only happen once a month.
No, well, you do Scott's spray every now and then. You can do a Luke's uninterrupted rant every time he's got something.
Stop making. Look at him making it all about himself again.
No, you made it.
Once
can
again.
Can I just say something?
No,
you
don't.
Just made that all about on. Me.
I've turned your mics off. Shame.
Luke.
And
Sassy.
Scott.
Recently, I saw a video where a creator on TikTok, Kaya, she was doing an interview. It was a live interview. She's a singer, Scott. So for those listening right now, what had happened was she was sitting in front of her laptop and she was doing a song as
an audition.
Yeah. So she was doing an audition. She was getting through her song. She was well presented. It was all looking great until she was stopped midway through.
Yeah, standard audition.
Yeah, but it was the fallout from it. However, what they probably didn't know, she was recording and filming them as well. So then she's put up this video showing how the industry, how that can reflect back on a performer going for these auditions.
The performance and creative industry is so cutthroat. You can't take it personal. You got to get the fuck back up the next day
and
audition
again. How many
times
do we argue on this podcast for change? This could be a nice element of change.
No, it is a creative input. I'm sorry, you're not fitting the brief
Scott,
right now.
Scott, you haven't
now.
Heard
you
it either.
It.
Can we play the audio?
Yeah, I was going to say, Scott, I've got the audio. I think it's not even that she was shut down. It was like how they did it and what they said. And she's actually got a really beautiful voice.
It might not have been what they were looking for, let's be clear.
Sure, but anyway.
That's what Sharon Osbourne would say, right?
Listen.
So I go to the movies and I go downtown.
That's awful.
So there was
delivery is shocking.
Yeah, and it was also like she really didn't get through much of the song, and they were like, "Yep, we're like hurry the fuck up, we've got to go. Like we don't care about you."
Well, no, that's because there might be a line of 70 other people, and they have to audition them all within the next hour.
Oh,
that's
well, then
a fucking
space
reality.
Your time out better.
No, that's a reality because you get.
Or they don't have to be live interviews. Then, hey, send us a video, a 1 minute.
She may have made it through. There may be, the casting process may have been different. Sometimes you do send it in.
So if they're saying about her look, they would have known what she looked like before it then.
She was
then,
gorgeous too.
Gorgeous.
What is wrong? Anyway, cutthroat.
But then that might just be what they're sick of seeing. She should actually take their direction and go, okay, cool. They have just told me I'm the same as the rest of the market and I've got to find something more unique. I've got to keep working on my craft and my identity because right now it's just not meeting the industry's needs. They're looking for something different.
But it had me thinking, this wasn't the only interview that can go wrong. There's multiple interviews. Everyone, if you're listening right now, I'm sure you're thinking of an interview that you either stuffed up or something went bad during it. And it took me back to a time when I was the interviewer. I had...
Oh, you were the interviewer.
I was interviewing. Looker
Boy
is...
Looker Boy? When have you been a boss? Looker
Boy is boss Looker Boy.
Where? For what type of job was it?
This was within radiography.
Okay.
So we had a junior going for the role. And like everyone...
He loves to say that word and assert his role.
Well, I'm not interviewing someone who's above me. So what I was saying, Mandy, I was interviewing a junior. And the interview was going well. I could tell she was very nervous, like most people are. I used to be the most nervous, awkward human during interviews. So I'm interviewing her. You're giving like cues because you want the person to succeed as well, right? However, something happened that was out of my hands. During an interview, there was nothing worse than what was about to happen.
What happened?
So I'm sitting there and it's hit me what's happening. We're in the middle of an earthquake. So everything's shaking. I'm looking around. So I was interviewing with another person. So we're looking at each other going, we've given each other a nod like, there's an earthquake happening right now.
Hang on, you did that to who? Sorry, your colleague?
There was the other person interviewing with me.
Your colleague, yeah.
Yeah, colleague. So then we've given each other a look like, what the...
Like something odd's happening.
There's
here.
An earthquake happening right now here in Melbourne. Looked over to the girl and she's just in panic stations. She's halfway through her answer. She's sweating. She's just saying anything.
Oh, I
like
love this.
The volume's gone up. It's all shaky. Like she's just, everything. It's just chaotic scenes.
So she's committed to finish saying
what
she's
saying.
She
needed to finish her answer. I forget what she was talking about, but she's just stopped mid-sentence and she's in panic stations and she's just looked at me and she's like, I think I'm about to faint. I'm really nervous. Or is everything shaking around everyone? I think I'm about to faint. And I was like, no,
oh,
I think we're...
She thought she was just trembling.
She thought it was her nerves. She thought she was about to faint. But I was like, no, we're in an earthquake.
Oh, that hurt my jaw.
It was funny at the time.
And then what did you do? Like, or hug it out and then start the interview over again?
No, I think we ended it because it was just too rattled. Like, you couldn't continue from there.
I'd love it. I'd love that.
Also, working in medical imaging, you had to be worried. It was like chaotic scenes within
the hospital.
You also
have to be good under pressure, right?
No, because power outages and any like the quality assurance of the equipment. An earthquake can put out everything. So the MRIs could be faulty, the CT could be faulty. A lot of the equipment could have been broken from an earthquake. Issues everywhere. So we had to stop it and hands on everywhere.
Work.
We had to do like all quality assurance and all the equipment.
Right. Okay, that makes sense.
But more.
More to the point, we asked you the worst thing that's happened during an interview, a job interview, and the first one is from Kate.
Now, these are from people who, like, have interviewed people and also were the interviewee.
Okay, great. Love it.
A guy came in for an interview, used the toilet before the interview and was in there for a good 30 minutes. After his interview, someone went to use the toilet and discovered this guy had broken the toilet. We said he can't be employed, even if he's the right guy for the job, because he will only be called toilet breaker or plunger by the rest of us.
They obviously don't have a good HR
policy.
Yeah.
She is HR. Well, yeah, you're part of HR if you're interviewing people. So he broke it.
Broke the toilet. Was he sitting or standing?
Oh my, I don't know, but he would have been sweating and freaking out going, fuck, now I've broken the toilet.
But imagine going for a job interview and using the toilet for 30 minutes beforehand. You'd be like, fuck, this is not going to go well.
But maybe he just
maybe he was reading his notes. He was nervous too.
Oh, and he did a two-minute shit, broke the toilet, and then spent 28 minutes trying to fix it. Okay, the next one is from Melissa Ann.
I used to do interviews for a coffee shop that had a large glass window in front so you could see it, the interviewee pull up. One time this guy sped into the parking lot, parked right in front, You could clearly see he had just been like mowing or something because he was covered in grass and sweat and had no shirt on. And then right before he came inside for his interview, he took a big drag off of a joint and then proceeded to put a shirt on and walk inside like nothing had happened. Needless to say, it definitely didn't hire him.
It's true. They could have more undercover people just watching them before they go into the interview and seeing their sort of behavior, right?
I'd be fucked. No, actually, I commit to it. So I'd be in a really good head, committed space on my way. No, actually, if I'm driving, I'm not. I'd be fucking telling people to go and fuck themselves on the road.
Yeah, people would see me swearing to myself trying to find a park. What the fuck?
So yelling. Next up, Mandy, you're going to play Emma's story.
So I was getting ready for this job interview and I had bought a new outfit, done my hair and makeup. I thought I was looking pretty good. I get to the interview, about to jump out of the car. I look down and I realise I'm wearing my fucking slippers still. Huh. I just forgot to put my shoes on. And I'm talking like pink, fluffy slippers. So I'm in the middle of the industrial area. There's no shops around. I can't just go buy some nice shoes. It's a 45-minute round trip to go home and back. So I did that and called them and told them that I was stuck in traffic. Ended up getting the job, so they believed my bullshit excuse.
Do you know what I just remembered?
No, your pink slippers?
No, remember when Grandma died?
Yep, in the hospital. It was very sad, Scott, but you were saying, oh, she lived a good life, death.
You know Leah? I was supposed to start a job or have a job interview with her. And I called her and I went, Leah, Scott O'Halloran here, how are you? And she's like, yes, like, where are you kind of thing. I'm like, listen, I know you don't know me yet, but my grandma's just died. I've got to wrap some of that shit up. I'm not going to be in for a few days, but can't wait to interview and can't wait to meet you. I'm sure you're going to love me. Don't hire anyone else until you've spoken to me. And she was like, what the fuck? And she still tells this story. She's like, I walk out and I'm like to our director, what the fuck? The guy that was supposed to come in for an interview just called me and said, chill out. I've got to deal with my dead grandma, but don't hire anyone until you've met me. And she's like, the nerve of you, the tone. She goes, but I was like, yeah, I'm not going to hire anyone until I've met him. And then she met me and hired me.
You're like, hey, babe, so sorry for the inconvenience. Grandma's kind of dead. Ugh.
Literally that. That's how she says it. The next one's from Adeline.
I was probably 17 or 18 and was applying for a serving position. And during the interview, the gentleman asked me what animal I would be. And without even thinking, I blurted out sloth because they're lazy. You know how most people ask, like, what's your spirit animal? That's what I was more so going for. Obviously not the smartest thing to say during a job interview, so did not end up getting the job, which, yeah, makes sense.
So you know that story you told before about Kyla,
yep,
the girl singing?
Yeah.
Often they'd go, okay, Scott, can you please walk around and pretend to be a dog in auditions? And you'd be like, all right. And then they'd go, okay, that's enough. Thank you. And then you'd go on to the next audition. But you weren't even you weren't auditioning to be a dog.
So people used to bully you? Is that what you're getting at?
No, they were seeing my creative expansion in front of them.
On that note, we might play Maddie.
Why are you both so quiet?
Because that was weird.
You reminded me of that guy on the news that was like, yeah. And they came bounding over.
Okay, Maddie.
I used to do hiring at McDonald's. And ooh. This one time I was interviewing someone and we're a couple minutes into the interview, everything's going well. And they say, sorry, can I just be excused for 1 minute? And I'm thinking, you know, they need to go to the toilet. So I'm like, yeah, no worries at all. They stand up. A couple minutes later, they sit back down and they have nuggets. They're 10 nugget packet and a frozen Coke. And not only are they sitting there while in the interview, they start eating the nuggets and slurping the Coke like. And I'm just sitting there. I don't know what to do or how to react. I say, oh, sorry, I'm just going to give you 10 minutes to finish your food and then I'll come back. Safe to say they did not get the job.
So someone creative in their families like show that you like the
that
product.
That you love the brand and the product and eat it in the interview. Show your dedication to the brand.
That has backfired.
And backfired hard. But maybe Maddie was the person that I sent my CV to. She sounds like she's pretty hard to get by. 3 different McDonald's didn't hire me growing up.
It's because you went embarking.
And they used to have, did you ever apply for a job at Macca's, Mandy? They had like, no. You know how, like, when you here in Australia, you have to like fill out
an
ATO form or whatever, and you fill in so many block letters and stuff like that. That was what it was for Macca's back in the days, and they never fucking hired me. All my friends had a job at Macca's, but they wouldn't hire me.
I still remember there was a few interviews I've gone for where questions still stand out to me.
Like what?
Like, Luke, now tell me about how you squeeze out the toothpaste.
No, they don't.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had that.
Yeah, they're making a joke of you.
Same interview.
What type of job?
Radiography.
I thought like you were going to be like, just a dentist.
High prof.
Dentist assistant.
Also the same.
That makes total sense, Luke.
In the same interview, I got, do you take note of what volume number on the TV when you turn the TV up?
Oh, they're trying to see if you're OCD. Like, because like a lot of people have that habit where they're like, they want to know how like your brain works.
How
I get that
in tune you are with.
Nah,
with
it's more just like it's a certain type of brain for someone who
function.
Is really particular about the volume number, which I am one of those people.
How would you?
Are you?
Yeah, like would you go
odd or
even?
I can't have it on 13. I can't ever have the volume on 13.
Fuck,
and I'm not even
superstitious.
I just can't have the volume on 13. And I don't like when it's like 11 or like 14. I like it in fives, blocks of five.
Okay, Scott, how do you squeeze out your toothpaste?
I squeeze it up and then when it gets half full, I fold that bottom halfness up and then I continue to squeeze from there on and roll
it. Oh, that's very
neat. That's what I said. I said you squeeze it until you need more and then you roll.
Also, what I... Do you know the one thing that we all have in common? Now, this doesn't matter... sexuality. This doesn't matter gender. It does not matter race. It does not matter age. We human beings, no matter how who you are, where you are, location, money, status, we're all fucking povo tight asses when it comes to toothpaste. The one thing that we have in our cupboard that we fucking work to the end of the earth to get the last bit out before we open another one up.
He's right.
I've got six toothpaste open around my basin right now. I've got two in the shower.
That's
and
why
I
think
five.
You're a fucking serial killer in the making and we used to say that about you as a child.
Mom!
No, she...
Mom! Stop it! Fuck off! Stop it!
Silly squabbles!
Every single week, we ask you to send in the most fucked up thing that a sibling ever did to you or you did to them. My brothers have driven me wild. For example, I have condiment phobia. And when I used to shower and it was school holidays, my brothers would fill up cups and saucepans and bowls with all different sauces from inside the cupboard and come and stand on the bath, hold the door closed so I couldn't get out, and pour sauce all over me.
I wouldn't waste something so precious on you.
Now, I am hoping equal... That is a sibling squabble. I am hoping Eden's sibling squabble matches or beats that.
So basically, I had this knocking on my door started in the middle of the night and there would just be this knocking sound. I'd open the door and there'd be no one there. And it would happen every day randomly for probably 4 months and I would be laying in my bed quaking in my boots because I could swear to God that something was knocking on my door and then I'd open the door and nothing was there and I was convinced that there was a ghost or something. Anyway, I told my mom about it. I was like, Mom, fuck, there's something here. And she was like, I can't tell you what it is. Like, I promised I wouldn't say it. And then I was like, holy fuck, my mom summoned like a demon or something. Anyway, guess who comes to my door and says, I'm really sorry. My little fucking brothers have been trolling me.
So can I just go back, you know, Kelly Osborne? When we asked her the worst thing that a sibling ever did to her, she said Jack shot her.
So let me just get it. Someone was tapping on her door.
She was tormented. She
they were going like this. Like Nick knocking. They were
and
Nick
you didn't
knocking
know
their
where it was coming from. Clearly it's coming from a sibling.
Eden.
She thought it was a ghost.
Is this fake? Are you just trolling us now, Mandy? He's sending fake sibling shit squabbles to us.
Again, Kelly Osborne's brother Jack shot her.
I think we bin this segment.
If that's what we're getting sent in, no one cares for this. I don't care for it.
I reckon we only do it when we get a fucking killer.
Good one. Yeah. So Take note, if you love Sibling Squabbles, we need you right now to go to the Luke and Sassy Scott podcast page on Instagram. Send us in the most, because I like this. I like wrapping our show with a sibling squabble.
Do you shut off work at like 6 o'clock and it's like, oh shit, 5:55, I got to find a sibling squabble?
I finish at 5, thank you.
And it's like, oh, 4:55? Me, I don't actually shut off, Scott. I'm editing it all throughout the night.
I listen to every single one that comes through and I rate them out of 10.
And what did you give that?
I'm up to the 5 out of 10s I'm using.
Sorry, Eden. Don't take it personally, but we just want the sibling squab game upped.
Okay, you've said it twice now, loud and clear.
Did you say you're fat?
Flat.
Oh, sorry.
Chested.
Don't make me get my titty out again. You cracked it last time.
He's got his cleavage out today, doesn't he?
Dude, I'm getting hot.
Look at him.
I didn't know.
Yeah, we can see.
Pull it down.
You've
we
got
like
your
it.
Cleavage out
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's okay.
I've been staring at vagina all day.
Excuse me?
All day. Your underarms just remind me of dirty porn in the 80s and 90s.
Do you want to get excited?
Nah.
Guess what today? I was like, why is my underarm a bit sore? Had a huge like boil pimple in the middle of it.
What the fuck?
Can you see it?
Nah, I don't want to look.
Yeah, I squeezed it and it went flying onto the mirror.
Oh, don't.
What?
It's oh, you've got a mirror. Boil pimple under your in your fucking pussy.
You don't know where
pit.
They come from.
That's a pussy pit.
And it's hairy. Yeah.
All right, okay. Wrap this That's whole enough. Episode up. Thank you.
I had to save that segment.
Thanks
something.
For all of your support. Listen, if you decide today was the last episode you listened to, I understand why. But I also understand if you like it, go fucking tell someone else to listen to it. Cheers, bye, see ya.
Luke
and Sassy
Scott.